You may be dismissed to Children's Church. With the rest of you, would you take your Bible or would you open it? Would you turn it on and find Proverbs chapter 2, if you would please, this morning. The second chapter of the book of Proverbs. I read a comment that one of the satirists that I follow on Twitter put yesterday about Father's Day sermons. And he made a comment, attention all pastors, get ready to beat up on dads. And the last thing I want to do on a Father's Day is beat up on the dads. Instead, what I want to do is I want to call our attention to God's Word in such a way so that you leave here today, brothers, thinking, I can do that. By God's grace, that's the kind of man that I can be. I remember growing up as a child, my mom and dad are here as guests this morning, and my dad came to faith in Christ as an adult man. And my dad did not have the privilege, like so many of us have had, of having a mentor in his life to teach him how to be a Christian man. And so much of what he learned was, kind of seat of his pants. Just learning along the road. And that's kind of a hard way to have to do it. And appreciate so much the way that my dad led our family, despite having really just very little training on how to be a Christian dad. I remember my home church growing up. You may remember this if you grew up in a church like mine. In the spring and in the fall, we would have a week of meetings. A traveling itinerant preacher would come in and he would preach to the church, and it was called a revival. You were going to have revival meeting. And normally those revival meetings on a given night had some kind of theme. So Monday night might be Sunday school night, and all the teachers were supposed to gather all the kids from their Sunday school class and hopefully families as well. And that was Monday night, and Tuesday night would be some other pack a pew night. You remember that? And Wednesday might be co-worker night. And Thursday night, usually Thursday or Friday, was family night. And most of the time, the preacher would preach in such a way that many of the dads, my own dad, would make commitments to do certain things in the home, and then they'd go home and they'd try to put it in play. And I remember my dad doing that. He'd come home and he'd try to put things in play, and it would last for just a little bit of time, and then just like me and just like probably a lot of you, you know, that practice would kind of fade away. And you know, the thing to which the evangelist called just didn't seem attainable. Didn't seem like the kind of spiritual leadership that the preacher at that time was calling really could be accomplished by any man. And then those of us who had the tendency to be a little cynical, we would say about that itinerant preacher, he's on the road 40 weeks of the year. How does he do that with his family? Oh, that's right, he doesn't. So I guess we probably shouldn't either. Which is, of course, the totally wrong attitude for us to have. Nevertheless, it's the one that we came up with. And a burden that's been on my heart for our church family, really for the most part of this year, in anticipating this particular sermon. As you know, I don't normally on these kinds of days just stop what we're doing in our regular progression through a book of the Bible to address the particular holiday. But this one's been on my heart for a number of months. And so I want to do that this morning, suspend our study from the book of Daniel, and really think about some simple acts of spiritual leadership. You say, well, listen, I'm a single lady. I have no prospects of being a dad at all. Yes, but you're surrounded by brothers here who are. And if nothing else for you, hopefully what it will give for you is a guide on how to pray for the brothers here. You say, hey, listen, I'm 19, 20 years old. I have no desire to be a dad for some time now. Maybe you're in junior high. Maybe you're just a little guy. This is a good time to be thinking about what kind of dad you might become. To begin to put into practice now some disciplines which will lead in the way to become a spiritual leader. Maybe you're here and you say, hey, listen, I'm the spiritual leader in my home as the wife and mother. My husband doesn't know the Lord. My husband doesn't practice spiritual leadership in our home. What's here for me today? The acts of spiritual leadership, while God designed the family to happen with dad in play, you can as well, even if he's not there. So I think there is for us in the scriptures today applicable material for everyone. If nothing else, you can simply pray for those whom you know who are dads. And if you don't know anybody to pray for me, that I would lead my family, my wife, my children as a spiritual leader in the home. Solomon, the wisest of all men, wrote this in Proverbs chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. You have your Bible ready? He writes this, "My son." And immediately we are drawn into a very intimate, personal conversation. When I begin that kind of conversation with the two boys in my house, "My son," they know that what's to follow is going one direction or the other. They know it's either going to a direction of, "Guys, here's some warning or some advice," or, "Guys, here's some correction. We need to make some changes." It's one way or the other. I usually don't begin a conversation with either Michael or Jeffrey with the words, "my son," unless there is something really important on my mind and heart that I want to get across to them. And that certainly is true here. "My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within your heart, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." The recipient of all those words is one of the descendants of Solomon. There's a responsibility on his side as the child of his dad to receive from him all that his dad gives to him. There's great benefit that comes from that. It is of incredible value, as communicated by the words "treasure," for example, or "silver," or "hidden treasures" in verse 4. There's great value in what you are going to receive from me, my son. So it is your responsibility, he says, to listen carefully, to make accurate, appropriate application to your life, to every word that comes out of my mouth to you. But also implied here is that the dad in this situation will provide something to this son which will benefit him in the ways communicated. This is a text which is talking about spiritual leadership in that particular way. There is to be direction from one to another. Most men struggle with being a spiritual leader. I struggle with being a spiritual leader. I have enough hard time leading my own life, let alone leading my wife and my children. So I want to suggest to us this morning some simple acts of spiritual leadership. If you're a father, if you hope to be a father, if there's potential because you're a male to be a father someday, if you're a grandfather, if you know a Christian father, this is for you. I want to encourage you. I want to educate you. I want to challenge you to become. I want to suggest to you that the whole community of the Christians here is involved in this. I want us to see how we Christian men can provide spiritual leadership in our homes. Let me give you 5 ideas. Here's the first. You can promote spiritual leadership in your home by promoting prayer. It seems so simple, doesn't it? That I can lead my family spiritually by praying? Yes, pray for your family. How would you do that? I would hope that you would have a daily set time in the morning. For us, it's the evening. We all gather together, who's ever at home that night, and we pray daily, every day. But I hope your prayer for your family, I hope the promotion that you have will be those prayers that are impulsive, where you know that your family, your wife, your children, your grandchildren, there is something that needs divine intervention. And there is a prompt from the Holy Spirit to you about that individual that you will impulsively pray when your heart is stirred. That you will do that when they are in your presence. That you'll do that when they are in your absence. There have been times when I've been with my children and we are there together and we're in a situation where I am unable to control much of it. And all of a sudden a temptation comes up and the prick in my heart is, oh God, guard the minds and the hearts of my kids right now. Because the temptation here is to pull them away from you. My heart has been stirred in that moment by the Holy Spirit, I believe, to pray impulsively for my children or for my wife. One of the ways that you can provide spiritual leadership in your home is by promoting prayer. And for some, there may be a real beginning part of that. On more than one occasion, I've had conversations with couples and I've asked them, tell me about the spiritual leadership that exists within your home. And on occasion, the dad will hang his head and he'll say to me, I don't provide anything. And I look at the wife and she's longing for some spiritual leadership. And I go to a simple place, at least simple in my mind. And I say, tell me about when your family eats together. What happens? So, well, you know, my wife makes dinner, or I might make dinner. We set the table, and we sit down, and we eat. And I said, yeah. Do you pray? Do you thank the Lord for your food? He said, yeah, we do. He'll say, we do that. So, well, tell me about that. How does that happen? And unsure where I'm going with that, he'll sometimes say, well, you know, my kids will pray. That's usually how it happens. I said, okay, well, how does that happen? How does it actually happen that one of the kids begins to pray? On more than one occasion, the gentleman will say to me, well, my wife will usually say, Jennifer, would you begin to pray? I will say to them, do you ever pray at dinner? He said, not usually, they'll say to me. Most of the time, it's one of the kids, and usually my wife directs them to do that. So I say this. I say, brother, could you tonight, when you go home and you sit down for the meal together, could you do this? Could you say to your family, let's pray? And you lead in prayer. And I don't remember a time where a man has said anything other to me than, I think I could do that. And I wish you could be with me when I've had conversations with couples like that. Normally, I'll look at the wife, and the expression on her face just changes. Her eyes brighten up because here is a small, small way that her husband is providing spiritual leadership in the home. And I'll say to the men, listen, don't put it on your wife to say to Junior, thank the Lord for our food. If you'd like for your son to lead in prayer, then how about you saying to him, son, would you thank the Lord for the food? So at our house forever, it's been Michael Monday. And so Monday nights, I'll look over the table and I'll say, Michael Monday, and we all know what that means, right? We grab hands around the table and Michael will lead us in prayer. There's no other given day that's identified with one particular person because, you know, no days match with the first letter of their name. So you can do that, fellas. If right now you say, it's not possible for me to grab my whole family together in the morning for prayer and in the evening for prayer before they go to bed, I think you can do it around the dinner table. You can lead in prayer at that time. Promote prayer. It's a simple act of spiritual leadership. pray with your wife. It shouldn't be this way, brothers, but I know it is. I know it is from your testimonies. I know it is from personal experience. There's just something that seems and feels uncomfortable about praying with your wife. I get it. Maybe it's because they know what we're really like. Maybe because more than anybody else, they see our faults. They know our warts. They see it. Brothers, she's a good woman. That's why she's still married to you. Embrace God's grace. Embrace the grace that she is giving to you. And pray with her for her concerns. And pray for her when she's home with your children during the day. Or when she's carpooling your kids around. Or when she's doing whatever the tasks are that are necessary to manage your house. Pray for that woman. Promote prayer. It's a way you can provide spiritual leadership. And pray with your children. One of the great blessings that I know in my own family is the regular routine. It may not happen every single time, but it's way up in the 90th percentile. That when my children and I are traveling together, when I drop them off at school or at an event, or I'm taking them to a game that they're going to play in, and before they get out of the car, the last thing we do is we pray together. And I pray very specifically for my children when they leave the car. I'm sure all four of them who are here this morning can tell you, every time I pray, I say, Lord, help them to, you guys want to chime in? Guard their hearts. Because I'm not going to be in a position to help them with that right now. And I desperately need their Heavenly Father to act as their protector. And I pray, guard their hearts. Brothers, I think you can promote their prayer that way, can't you? I'm not asking you to teach a seminary class to them. I'm not even asking you to teach a Sunday school class. I'm simply saying, here is a simple act of spiritual leadership that you can embrace. Promote prayer. Let me give you a second one. A second one is this: resolve conflict in your home. And there are some very specific ways that you can do that. You can demonstrate spiritual leadership in your home by resolving conflict biblically with your spouse. Whether you have children or not, you provide spiritual leadership in your home when you resolve conflict with her in the right way. I don't know if any of you men are like me, but here's what I prefer. When Brenda and I are at odds, and you can just be sure that, you know, pushing 27 years here of marriage pretty soon, that we've had more than one occasion where we have not seen eye to eye on something. And you know what I would prefer? Because, you know, in my own mind, I'm right all the time, right? Here's what I would prefer. I would prefer that Brenda would come to me every time there's a problem and say, "Oh, Mike, I am so sorry. Could we get this right?" That's what I want. Why should I have to go with her every single time? Why should I have to be the one always initiating the resolution to conflict? Why can't she do that? Just this one time. She does it all the time. But just this one time, wouldn't it be nice if Brenda actually came and said, "Mike, you know, I'm sorry." Why do I have to be the one to resolve conflict? And the answer is, because I'm the spiritual leader who is to model my leadership after the God of heaven. Can I remind you how the conflict between us and God initiated? Did you start it? Did you go to God and say, "Oh God, I really want to be right with you. How about we work something out?" Is that what happened? No, what happened with all of us is God so loved the world, right? That He gave His one and only Son, His only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in Him would not perish but have eternal, everlasting life. The resolution of the conflict that exists between us and God initiated with the Father saying, "Let's make this right. And I will do everything possible to make it right with you. A simple act of spiritual leadership is resolving conflict in your home and you initiating it. And you initiate it, brothers, as much as your Heavenly Father initiates it with you. Has He ever stopped initiating conflict resolution with you? Isn't He always trying to call you back to Himself? Isn't He always saying, come to Me, all you are weak and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest for your souls? Isn't He always saying to you, if you will confess your sin, I will forgive you? Isn't He always saying that to us? Resolve conflict in your home, and you begin by doing that with your spouse. And then you resolve conflict in your home with your children. When Michael was very young, Brenda and I had spent the better part of 3 or 4 days doing some significant work in our basement in Michigan. It wasn't much of a basement, but we were trying to make it a nice place for us. And Michael was, 3, 4 years old. We set up all these shelves in the basement and we'd worked really, really, really hard. And the work was done and I came down and Michael, who is not by nature this kind of individual, Michael, and Brenda can correct me on the details later or give the details better than I can. Michael comes over, he grabs, just as a 3 or 4 year old guy, he grabs this shelf that I had built. And what I'm about to tell you, you'll say, well, you didn't build it very well. And I'll agree with that. He grabs a shelf, you know, it's 6 or 7 shelves high. He grabs it and pulls it and the whole thing comes toppling down. Me, of course, being concerned about me and not about Michael, is not concerned at all about whether or not he's underneath everything that's there. I had just sat down to watch a game. Just sat down. And he has the audacity to pull that shelf over right when I sit down to watch the game. I, of course, come running over there and I remember what I did. I am ashamed to tell you what I did. I'd just taken my shirt off. I was bare-chested. I'd just taken my shirt off. And I actually threw the shirt at him. Michael, how could you do that? You know, I'd love to tell you that all of us dads, we always resolve conflict biblically, right? We don't. The Scriptures give us very clear ways how to resolve personal conflicts. A way that you can lead spiritually is by resolving conflict in the Bible's way. By noting Galatians 6:1, Matthew 18, those texts which direct us how to resolve conflict with people. And you can demonstrate spiritual leadership by resolving conflict in your home that's sibling to sibling. Hey, until you kids are parents, you just won't understand how much it really gets on our nerves when the kids are fighting. You just won't understand it. You just can't until it actually happens to you and you're the parent. And then we who are then grandparents will laugh at you because of what is happening in your particular home, what used to happen in our home. When we hear conflict going on within the lives of children, one of the ways that we can provide spiritual leadership, brothers, is by teaching the children to resolve the conflict biblically. You can show them that the way you resolve that problem with your brother is by taking responsibility for your sin and seeking forgiveness. The way that you can resolve conflict with your brother is by hearing his confession of sin and extending mercy and forgiveness to him. You can do this. Friends, simply saying to the siblings, knock it off, will you? Is not teaching them how to resolve conflict biblically. And we all know that. So let's provide spiritual leadership in the home by teaching how to resolve conflict. Here's a third one. A simple act that I think promotes spiritual leadership. Men, direct the discipline of your children. Please, brothers, Do not leave it up to your wives. Do not leave it up to the mothers of the children to direct the discipline in your home. This responsibility begins with you. Please, do not say to your wife, go take care of that, will you? Please do not say to your wife, can't you control those kids? Please embrace the responsibility that correction, that discipline, discipleship in the home is going to begin with you. So that means you're going to ask some questions. You're going to ask some questions of how will we correct? What method of correction will we use? What will honor God? What will help this peculiar one? In our home, it's very, very different through the years. My children know on days like this, there are going to be sermon illustrations. It just goes with the territory of being a pastor's kid. Michael often would respond to corporal punishment. But one thing that Michael just absolutely hated and was a method of correction for him is if I made him stand in the corner, oh my word. It was death to him. Could you please give me a spanking and get it over with, Dad? Don't make me stand in the corner. Now, Jennifer standing in the corner is totally different. Because Jennifer's there with her best friend. And she can talk to herself. And it totally misses the point with Jen. So you gotta apply some different things with him. And as far as the other two, we're still trying to figure out what the ones are for Emily and for Jeffrey. My point is this. You as a dad, provide the spiritual leadership in your home by determining how are we going to correct this particular child? What are we going to use to disciple and discipline this child who is so different than the other children and is unique? What offenses warrant what kind of response from us? You direct the discipline. You step up as a man. You can do it, men. You can do it. And you can correct and discipline in a loving way like your father disciplines you. Your heavenly Father always does so with the purpose of restoring the relationship that you have with Him. And He always does so in a way to prevent you from injuring or damaging yourself further. You can do that, man. Let me give you another. A simple act of spiritual leadership. Ask and answer questions. Kids have a lot of questions. A lot of questions. When they're very, very young, they ask questions one after the other. When they get a little older into their teenage years, the questions become a little more difficult to answer. And you know this, I think. The simple answer to a why question that you were able to give a 5-year-old, you're not able to give a 15-year-old. And the temptation is to respond with an answer that shuts down the child. Answer and ask questions. And that begins not with the children, brothers, but it begins with your wife. As a general rule, men, any time your wife asks you a question, you should attempt to answer. And I'll admit, that's hard. Has your wife ever asked you a question, brothers, and you've looked at her and said, how should I know? Ever done that? I have. Or, why are you asking me? Really? That's the question you have? Honey, that may be the dumbest question I've ever heard. Brothers, when your wife asks you a question, no matter how simple it may seem to you, or how complex it may seem to you, answer her question. What happens if you do not? You are teaching her to live independently of you. That she does not need to seek your mind on a certain subject. A a subject which was important enough to her to ask you for an answer. I know sometimes a wife can approach her husband about a troubling topic, something within the home, something as it relates to the children. And the response that we husband can give might be a response that minimizes the situation, that makes it unimportant in her mind, or to act as if we are uninterested. Brothers, it is very dangerous for us to respond to our wives in that kind of way. You do not want her to live independently of you. So that the result is the two of you simply become nothing more than roommates occupying the same dwelling. And you may unintentionally do that when she asks you a question and you do not answer the question for whatever reason. A way that you can provide spiritual leadership is simply by answering and asking questions. And you need to do this with your children too. Hey, our kids learn. Didn't we all learn with our parents which subjects which were off target, which ones were out of bounds to talk about? Didn't we all learn that? Don't ask Dad about, because if you ask Mom about, we all learned that, right? And you can be sure our kids have learned that with us too. They've learned which subjects to avoid because Dad doesn't like to talk about that. Brothers, when your children approach you about a subject and ask you a question, do everything you possibly can to provide them an answer. And if you can't give them one immediately because you don't know the answer to it, then you say, son, I don't know. I'm going to find out and I will get back to you. Because what's the alternative? Do you want him Googling the answer? Is that what you want? You see, here's the reality. It used to be back in the day about certain subjects, what we did is we went and grabbed the World Book Encyclopedia, right? And that's what we did. And previously, you did an internet search. But now you know how you do that? You don't search Wikipedia. You search Google Images. Do you really want your kids finding answers to the questions that they ask you from Google Images? Is that what you want? Me either. So let's answer questions. The alternative is not one that any of us wants. Do you really want another 15-year-old answering the question that your kid has? Me either. So let's do our part to answer questions. But not only to answer them, learn to ask questions of your children. Ask them questions all the time. One of my favorites to ask my kids, I doubt it's one of their favorites to hear, but it's one I like to ask. I'll say, what are you thinking? Because I look into those beautiful blue eyes and that's about as far as I get. I can't see what's in her brain or what's in his brain. What are you thinking? Tell me what's on your mind. I want to know this child. In order to do that, I need to ask questions. I wish all of you could join us for a Sunday afternoon dinner sometime. We have the best Sunday afternoon conversations. And I think you can do this too, men. Our Sunday afternoon conversations, always inevitably, this question comes up from me to the kids. What'd you learn from your pastor today? And I tell them, get in early, and they know it, because you can't say, Michael took mine, Jeffrey took mine, Emily took mine, Jennifer took mine. Hey, you have the chance. Get in early. Sometimes our conversations will last a few minutes, because the preaching they didn't think was very good that day. Sometimes the conversation will last for a lengthy amount of time, because so much comes up within that conversation. And Brenda and I gain insights into their souls. We have those simple kinds of conversation. ask questions. Let me give you the last one. Just simple acts of spiritual leadership. I want to make it attainable for you. I want you to walk away today, brothers, saying, I can do God's grace. By God's grace, I can do those things. I want you sisters to say, I'm going to pray for my husband, that this will be true in him. I want the whole of our church family to say, wouldn't it be great if every man in our assembly exercise that kind of spiritual leadership among all of us? Wouldn't that be great? Here's the last one. Be the man for matters of the church. Be the man. Please, brothers, do not leave it up to your wives when it comes to Christianity in your house. I hope it's never said at your house to your wife, hey, are we going tomorrow? Be the man. Step up and make it your leadership to direct your family regarding its responsibility and opportunities when it comes to matters of the church. What's that going to look like? It's going to look like how your family arrives when it gathers together with the other brothers and sisters. I didn't get this right when I was younger. In fact, I got it so wrong. Brenda and I had Michael. You may have heard me communicate this previously. And with Michael, it was easy. It was 2-on-1. And you've heard me say, in actuality, it was 1-on-1. But that was still easy. You know, it was usually just Brenda and Michael. And, you know, you can get him going early in the morning. When Jennifer came along, Jennifer is sweet Jennifer. Jennifer, you probably have heard me say, to my shame, Jennifer was such a challenge as a toddler. I did not want any more children. So much so that when Brenda was pregnant with Emily, she didn't tell me for a significant amount of time because I had made it very, very clear that I did not want any more kids. There were 2 children in Brenda's family, 2 children in my family. Hey, we got a boy and a girl. What more do we need? And God said, you need Emily and you need Jeffrey. And we are very grateful for that. But when I was a young dad, Brenda, a young mom, we had 2 children. What should have been 2-on-2 was probably more 1-on-2. Brenda caring for 2. And we drive together to come to worship in the morning. You know, I'm a pastor, assistant pastor at a church. And so there's an expectation that you arrive at a certain time, right? Well, if we had to leave at 8:30, say, hey, I don't have to get out of bed till 8:15. Because how difficult is it to make this happen? It's just not that difficult. You jump in and out of the shower, dry off a significant portion of your body, right, guys? And get dressed, head to the car. How hard can it be? And that was my practice as a young dad. Brenda would get up early. I'd get out of bed 15, 20 minutes before we had to leave. Head to the door. Hey. And she's still trying to scramble to get everybody together. So now, well, how do I respond? Come on, Brenda. You know I have, it's my job, okay? This is my job. I have to be at my, imagine taking your children to your job every day. Well, I'm taking my children on Sunday mornings. Come on, Brenda. And I remember being very, very impatient getting out the door. And it led to some unpleasant rides to meet God on Sunday mornings. And God in His grace brought along a brother into my life who put his arm around me and said, knucklehead, what is your problem? And he really helped me to see that the failure here was not Brenda. The failure here was me. He taught me something. He taught me to demonstrate spiritual leadership in my home by making the priority for my family for gathering, not my wife's, but mine. And it was a burden at first, I'll be really honest with you. It was a burden. It has become a joy. So, you know our routine, right? For us, Sunday morning begins Saturday night. Trying, as our children have gotten older, I don't have to say things as often as, hey, do you have your Bibles ready for the morning? Everybody have their Sunday school material done? Everybody's clothes ready? I don't have to quite say that quite as much. Very rarely now. But the ride to church for us is a joyful experience most of the time. It involves two components, praying and singing. Usually we pull out of the driveway, all of us together, and I'll say, who has a song? Let's sing. And when they were little songs, right? I'm in right, out right, up right, down right, happy all the time. Or stop and let me tell you what the Lord has done for me. As I've gotten older, it's different. Let's sing the power of the cross. Let's sing my hope is in the Lord. Let's sing how firm a foundation. And as a dad, how great is that to have my whole family in the car going to meet God and we are singing together how deep the Father's love for us. I love it. And I get to set the tone for that. We pull here into the parking lot. Pull into a parking stall, and the last thing we do before we get out is let's pray together. And we pray. And we pray, Lord, we're looking forward to meeting with you today. Gather your people together. And we pray for all of you. Give them safety coming in and help us to serve them. And we pray and we go on our way. Now, I said it usually happens that way. Usually the pattern is sing then pray. But on occasion it's pray then sing. Because the morning has gone so bad. Relate to anybody on Sunday mornings, the morning going so bad? And we get in the car, and there isn't one person in that car who is in any frame to sing, let alone, especially me. I may have been aggravated and irritated with some of the kids that morning because the things I told them to do on Saturday night, they didn't do the things I told them to do on Saturday night. And now here we are, and we're all feeling this pressure. And I'll often say, this family needs to pray. And then we pray. There have been times, Michael and I were talking about this morning on the way in, there have been times where we have pulled off the side of the road on the way to worship because it was such a bad atmosphere in the car to pray. Because we're going to meet God. And shouldn't the gathering to meet God be the best thing that our family does in the week? Shouldn't that be true? And I have the opportunity to direct my family toward a joyous event. I want this to be the best time in the life of my family when we gather together with all the brothers and sisters and we worship God because of the work of the Son at the impulse of the Spirit. Hey, you adopt your own pattern. I'm just simply saying, be the man when it comes to matters of the church. Be the man. Make it your responsibility to exercise the leadership in the home that makes the gathering with God's people the most joyful event in the life of your family. So, some simple acts of spiritual leadership. You know, maybe you're discouraged because you're not the man in your home like this. Or maybe you're here this morning and you're discouraged because your dad isn't like that. Or because your husband isn't like that. Sisters, brothers, he can become that way. None of us were born like this. Instead, the reality is we all were born dead in our trespasses and sins, but have been made alive through Christ. He can become something other. You, brother, can become something other than you are. Begin with prayer to God, make me what I am not. And then, sisters, when he shows even the slightest display of spiritual leadership in any one area, you make the biggest deal out of it possible. You be the biggest cheerleader you can be. Honey, thank you for praying at dinner tonight. That was great. Thank you. Honey, thank you for driving the family to worship today. That was terrific. You make the biggest deal even out of the smallest little things. And you recognize and you applaud his leadership. And you fight with every member of your being, any resistance in your soul, to resist his leadership. And I anticipate what you'll see is that God bring to your home a spiritual leader, which is what we all desire. Let's ask for his help. Would you pray together with me, please?